Lord Jesus, your word is all that we need. And we are not here to make believe that our lives are all together. We're not here to make believe that that we're admiring anything except your word. We don't have anything, God, and we have no place to go. We're like the apostles who said, where else can we go? You have the words of life. We're here to give you all our problems and all our issues and all our personality flaws and quirks and scruples and lack thereof. God, so we give them to you now, asking you to fill them in with the word. Your word says that if my people would open their mouths wide, I would fill them. Your word says that you open your hand and you feed every living thing. Feed us good spiritual food now, please, God. Use your word to do this. In Christ Jesus, amen. Amen. Last week we looked at the crucifixion. Last week we looked at the betrayal of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and how they nailed him to the cross. But we knew that the crucifixion was not a tragedy. It was an accomplishment. The crucifixion was not an unforeseen task. It was for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. With that thought in mind, there is something even more important than the crucifixion, though. There's something even more powerful than the crucifixion. And you know what that is? The resurrection, indeed. For looking at right now, 1 Corinthians 15, let me read this to you. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. The last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some say among you there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And then the key verse, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Let me explain this to you in these 19 verses I just read to you. Christ was crucified, and what a fine man he was. What a good dude. Did I just call Christ a dude? I did. If, in fact, he did not rise from the dead. For looking through history, there have been many good dudes. If you've ever read Socrates' writings, I recommend them. Interesting. If you ever read anything from Buddha, interesting. Baha'u'llah from the Baha'i faith. Interesting. Positive. Gandhi. I can read the list of names of good dudes that have been alive. and that are now dead. And you know what they all have in common? They're still dead. But I present to you one, I offer you proof that he is alive. The proof, the Bible says, is in the power of his blood and the word of my testimony. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I'm missing one. There's nine of them. Gentleness. I don't know why I forgot gentleness. I present to you myself as testimony of the risen Christ. For often reading through the Bible, I had tried to force myself into the mold that I read. I had tried to find myself doing as Christ did. I tried to look at the men of God around me and say, that's a Christian, and that's what I'm going to be like. Foregoing and forsaking, not having an understanding that if I would allow Christ in my heart, his Spirit leading me, then I wouldn't have to work so hard. God would do the work. And here's why I say that. Look, you could fake a lot of stuff. Y'all could come to church every week. You could sing in a band. You could serve God here. But here's one thing you can't fake. When somebody takes the cup that is your life and goes, and what spills out of it? It ain't love. It ain't peace. It ain't joy. It ain't gentleness. However, when you have allowed God that access of your heart, and you firmly believe in the gospel that Christ died for your sins, and now you need his Spirit to move upon you. The cross was an amazing accomplishment, but rising from the dead, anybody can die. Anybody can get crucified. But to rise from the dead, that's something only one has accomplished. The first, right? Keep that in your knower. Turn to 16th chapter of the book of Mark. All those things we're going to revisit now in actual deed as we look at the resurrection of Christ. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Now just so we have Bible geeks among us, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Mary the mother of James is none other than also the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody know who Salome was? Anybody remember who she was the mother of? James and John. That was her aunt, or in scripture, depending on relative that you put. It'll be a test later. That they might come and anoint him very early in the morning on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Excellent. They came to the tomb where the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now we know that Luke mentions two angels here. Mark, for remembering that the book of Mark is a shotgun of miracles, even though it's the shortest of all the gospels, it contains the most miracles. He only mentions one of them. Verse 6, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. First part of today's message is this. You see what it said? I want you to go and tell his disciples and Peter. Now, wasn't Peter a disciple? or maybe he wasn't a disciple, what would have disqualified Peter from being a disciple when he once was a disciple? Well, he denied Christ three times in the presence of all, calling down curses. I don't know the guy. Guys, remember that? So he literally separated himself from Christ. But the first part of today's message is so wonderful for me. God, upon rising from the dead, let me illustrate for you this way. How many of you guys here have ever bought a house? Homeowners here? The first thing you do when you buy a house, especially if it's your like first house, you gotta get on the phone, you're gonna call your best friends, your mom, your dad. You gotta come over, you gotta look at my house. You gotta see. Some of you guys ever redone a kitchen? Oh man, I'm cooking in a new kitchen. I'm on this. Some of you guys get new landscaping. Oh my goodness, you gotta see. Some of you guys, haircuts, whatever it is that you have accomplished, whatever it is you've done, new makeup, whatever it is, you've got to, I'm gonna send a picture, hold on. Upon accomplishing the greatest accomplishment in the world, upon accomplishing that which in all of creation nobody has ever accomplished, upon accomplishing the ability to say to each and every human being that's walking the face of the earth, you are forgiven by means of looking to me. He doesn't search the land for the finest of men. He doesn't search the land for the purest of women. Verse 8, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. Let me explain something to you. Back in Old Testament biblical times, women weren't even vote. Forget about vote. They didn't have voting. Women weren't even allowed to testify in court. Their word meant nothing. They were a possession. Most men had multiple wives. They were, at best, a second-class citizen. But our Lord Jesus, valuing his daughter so much, upon accomplishing this amazing feat, who does he appear to? A woman said to be a prostitute who had demons cast out of her. And making sure that he illustrates to that very same, I want you to go tell Peter, the one who just denied me. Now, I don't know about you, but this is great freaking news for me. Because I am so foul, and I am so in the place of denying Christ. I am so unpure. I am such a whore. I am a prostitute like Mary Magdalene. I am not pure. I am not holy. I am not righteous. I am not good. I am not faithful. And yet God says, tell him, I'm here to forgive. Tell him, I'm here for them. How do you not love this? I mean, if it was me and I just bought like some new sweet house, man, I'm not calling the dirty people up. Man, I bring people who know to take their shoes off before they come in my house. Man, I just got this, I just bought this house. You know what my mortgage payment is? And I accomplished this. Wait a second. What I need is the best of the best. Let me search out the land. The strongest, the best. Not my Savior. He wants a whore. He wants a loser, a defiler, a guy who turned his back on him. That's the first two people. I must have missed something. I really did. Growing up, I thought those guys that went to church, I thought they was all perfect. I must have heard some false idea of what the gospel is. Now, you guys might not No, some of you guys might know that the word gospel means the good news. But the question doesn't matter. You're not going to hear, what is the good news? What we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. What's going on? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've done. But listen, I think it was Spanky that said it best. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time. I don't remember. But you can't fool God none of the time. I put the last part in. Spanky didn't say that last part. So you can be here thinking you came to church and you got it all together and you just want to be around all us other swell guys. But in the end, here's the truth. God knows exactly what you did last night. He knows exactly what you did last week. He knows what you saw. He knows what you listened to. He knows what you looked at. He knows everything about you. And you know what he's going to look at you and say? Come on. Come on. Let's do it together. I can't get past this. I circled it in my Bible. I'm looking for something here. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he cast out seven demons. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Of course, Peter. That's the greatest thing in the world. You know what the greatest thing in the world is a parent to do? When your kid has got gloom and doom, could you imagine what Peter felt like? Could you imagine? I mean, in his flesh, I'm sure not in his spirit, entertain with me, please. When Christ died, there had to be this relief. Thank God I ain't got to at least see him again. I mean, he saw me. He walked by. He looked at me. There I am talking to this girl, denying him. He walks by. Our eyes meet, and I just don't even want to look at him. At least he's dead, and I don't have to deal with this anymore. You ever felt like that? And then you find out he's alive. And they didn't believe it. So if we go on to read, watch. And when verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them. And you could look at the book of Matthew and Luke and John for the details of these things. Now, remember, I don't want to refer back to all these books. I want to stick to the book we're in because I believe that's where God wants. So you can do that and you can get all the details. They actually have these Bibles called, I think they're called Synoptic Views, where they take all the Gospels and they put them together. And it's an interesting read. I'm not really big into it, but it's an interesting read because it puts it all together. And you're like, wow, I thought they contradicted each other. But truth is, they fit like a glove. Perfect, nothing missing. And he went and told the rest, but they did not believe them either. He didn't believe him. Peter said, Mary said he's alive. I hope not. There's a slight giggle we get, but the truth of the matter is, isn't that how I feel? Isn't that maybe how some of y'all feel? Is he alive? I mean, at least he's going to leave the room when, at least he's not looking at, he's alive. He sees everything. Bible says he's Jehovah Ruah, the Lord who sees everything, like everything. Everything. Well, then he's very mad at me. How's that? Very, very mad at me. And like I said, it's the greatest thing in the world when mom says, when dad gets home, you are in big trouble. And isn't that what our religion was growing up? Isn't that what we were taught growing up? When dad gets home, you're in it. Let me tell you, you're going to get it. Dad's going to be home and you're in trouble. And then dad gets home and goes, forget about it. Let's go outside and play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. You forget about it? I forget about it. He says he separates us from our sins and remembers them no more. He forgets about it. How important is that? How relieving is that? That when Dad gets home, we're not in trouble at all. And that his life is not a big giant eye, that God's not a cop, he's a doctor. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, that's a good word for the husbands here. That was supposed to be a joke. Because Mary Magdalene told him that he was alive, and they didn't believe him, and I tried to like connect that to, never mind. Won't do that in the second service. There's no second service. Could I get any kind of response here at all? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but those who do not believe will be condemned. Please give me your attention. That is not the admonition that some churches use to say baptism is essential for salvation. It is not, because it would contradict every other scripture that says that all you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus, you and your household. Do you understand that? Now, salvation is expected if you believe and are saved, you will be baptized. But don't connect those two there, as some churches do and preach, that unless you've been baptized, or some churches say you have to be baptized, some you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There's so much confusion there, and usually it's those people that aren't called to service, but they're called to argument. That was a joke. He believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. This is interesting, guys. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. We finished the book of Mark. Let me finish before we do communion by telling you this. All of the things that we just read about these signs that will follow are contained in the book of Acts. Paul had a snake bite his finger and it didn't hurt him. People had been poisoned and it didn't affect them. They cast out demons. The question then becomes this. If the power of... Now here's where I put everything together, guys. Starting with the first thing I read. If truly we ought to be pitied more than all men, if our Savior is still dead, which we obviously don't believe he is. If we have received the Spirit that has now baptized us with the ability to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, if those things exist, I must ask you, what are you doing with that power? Because most of the believers I know in the nice churches are not casting out demons, speaking in tongues, taking up serpents, drinking anything deadly, or laying hands on the sick and having them recover. Matter of fact, most of them I know, you know what they're doing? They're going to church. They might have really good ministries inside. I heard they have some jam and coffee over at the cafe here. I heard they got a great school where you could drop your kids off. I heard they have amazing sports programs. I heard that they have guys, some services, rappelling from the, what do you call it, the ceilings. I heard one time they had a tank drive right through. Say, what? Where was that at? I heard they don't even have a worship leader. They have a light and sound guy, complete with smoke. I heard that they play really cool secular music with a spiritual twist. Don't stop believing. Ah. I heard they got a worship leader, man. He sits up there and he does this thing here. Man, and you can get into it, kind of. Because, you know, if people aren't getting into it, then they ain't going to come back. Not my brand of Christianity. I want to be out there looking for a demon to cast out. And if he kicks my butt later, as long as he's out of that other guy. Laying hands on the sick. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. This is a crazy story, right? I'm sitting there. I'm at my son's wrestling tournament. If you've never been to a wrestling tournament, it's the most miserable thing you can do for 7 hours, except for about 9 minutes of it. You go there and you sit around and you wait. And how many amens do I get on that one? Okay. Here's the wrestling tournament. Ready? Because once you watch a kid wrestle, it really doesn't matter. Nothing else bothers you. But it's about 8 hours and 45 minutes of going, doing absolutely nothing, and then about 15 minutes of your heart just trying to stuff it back in your mouth. Sorry, I really took that too far. So I'm standing there, and there's a kid next to me, and he's going to wrestle this other kid who's like a state champ. This kid's gigantic. He's like, the kid that he's about to wrestle is like 230. He's going to play football at Purdue next year. I mean, the kid's just like super athlete. All right, and the kid's next to me, he's kind of a taller Hispanic dude with this big fuzzy mop of hair. And he's talking to his girlfriend. He's like, yeah, he's good, but you know, I'm just going to do my thing. And the Lord knocks on my door and says, why don't you pray for him? And I'm like, I'm going to do that, God. No, I want you to pray for him. I ain't going to do that, God. I know I'm busy. Busy standing around doing nothing. So I don't pray for him. Kid gets on the mat, and he wrestles. And he did good, man. He was in the match the whole time. As a matter of fact, with a little more heart, a little more try, he could have won. He was so intimidated by who this kid was. Because in the wrestling circles, everybody knows Shy Williams, you know. Shy, what's his last name again? Huh? Hill. Shy Hill. Going to Purdue, he won states last year. He's like a super athlete, right? But at the end of the match, there's like 20 seconds left, and now the guy, Shy Hill, he starts putting his hand in the kid's face. But, you know, there's one thing about wrestling, you could touch a guy, but he starts kind of like, and the guy, you know, and then you got two streakers, like, hey, man, what's up, man? What are you doing? Get your hand, F you, you know, this other stuff. And it's over, the match is over, and they walk off. But now they both walk off the same way, and they walk right by me. And one kid looks and goes, what, you got something to say? You could throw some hands, you know, this, all this other stuff. Man, F you. And they start calling each other the N-word and all this stuff. And I'm sitting right there. And now the one kid calls the other kid the N-word, and this kid's father or somebody heard him say it. But he didn't hear the other kid say it. So he's like, did you just call my son? And I said, oh, bro, he's the one that started all that end stuff. So you know, take it easy. So now they're all in each other. And I'm thinking to myself, how could this situation worked out different if I had prayed for this kid? Now, I wish I could tell you there was more to the story. It's not. But it's been like in my craw since. Why didn't you just pray for him, you freaking coward? He dies on a cross for you. Abused, misused, and you're embarrassed to pray for somebody? You could have cast a demon at a kid. You don't know what was up with him. Maybe he was sick. You don't know what's going on. Here you have a chance to live out the gospel, and you blew it. Because you were distracted, because you were just a coward. I mean, think about this. I'm asking you, I'm not asking you for show hands, how many of you guys have these signs follow you? And if they don't follow you, what are you doing with your faith? Maybe you don't have faith at all. Maybe you're just to be pitied more than all men because you have a risen Savior and you don't do nothing with it. You go to the cafe. Am I coming down on y'all? Yeah, I am. I'm dead serious, too. I'm telling you right now, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Ask yourself, have you ever cast out a demon? Why not? Do you not believe that demons exist? Well, if you deny that demons exist, then you deny that the Bible is the truth. Because the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell and demons than he did heaven and angels. Okay, the whole serpents and drinking deadly stuff. Let's just, I'm with you on that stuff, okay? Let's not test the spirit with the snakes and the poison, okay? But there's plenty of other stuff in there you could go with. Now, maybe if you were in Africa and India and they got snakes there and you had to save somebody from a snake, you do what you got to do. Hey, you don't got to worry about that right now. You're only in Florida. All we got is rattlesnakes and coral snakes and moccasins. Copperheads, no, that's northern Florida. But they lay hands on the sick. You ever seen somebody sick and say, hey, can I pray for your healing? What are we doing then? Got this power. I mean, please get out of your American wasp white bread belief. Please get serious and real about your faith, church. And if you're not, go someplace else where they're going to be nice to you. I'm not going to be nice about it. I want to hear demons screaming and leaving people. I want to see people get healed of sickness and illness. I want to see people set free from the bondage of addiction and sexual deviance. I want to see this happen. Otherwise, if we are a church existing to be a church, we can go back to my house, okay? We'll just do that. We'll just do church in my house like we did 10 years ago, all right? And we'll smile a lot. We pay $12,000 a month rent here. And I don't want to pay $12,000 a month rent so that we can pay $12,000 a month rent. I want God to look down and say, well, you pay $12,000 a month rent, but you know what? People are getting set free. People are getting saved. Marriages are getting restored. Kids are coming to their parents. That's what I want to see. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord spoke to them, he was received up into heaven. That's the ascension, not the resurrection, but the ascension. You could look up that in the book of John, tells more about that. And sat down at the right hand of God. We talked about that, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. If you look at Hebrews, it talks about the cloud of witnesses that watches down us. You could look that up too. And they went out and preached everywhere, Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. If you guys can get those trays of communion, please. We're going to take communion. Jim, would you please come up and play communion song? So here's what I want you to do.
I'm sorry, my heart's really hurt. The little boy here.
Yeah, King.
He was having an asthma attack. She just ran from the hospital.
She did? Yeah, King is. Yeah, let's pray for King. He's such a good little kid. You know, I've known him since years now. He's just got tons of health problems, and she's a single mom just trying to keep it together, and she's got a mess of kids. And hey, guys, let's just stand still for 1 second. Let's pray for King. Father God, we lift up King to you. Thank you for that little boy. I love that little kid so much. We ask you to heal him, God. And we ask you, Felicia, that she would be a tentative mom, strong in your power and your might, full of faith, God. Please be with him, and let's hear that you healed him. And before she even gets to the hospital, that he's feeling much better. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. If we don't think anything else is important, God, just be with King. May he know that you're with him. Please, Lord Jesus, may this be a demon leaving him or something. I don't know, God. May it be something good. What the enemy meant for evil, you make it good. Please, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hand out those. And now, I want you to think, if you've been convicted by some of the things that I said today, then please take this conviction seriously. Don't be a coward like me. When you're at Walmart, pray for the girl behind the counter or the dude putting the stuff on. As the Lord burdens your heart, do it. Do it. Now, just for, you know, full disclosure, I did pray for a bunch of people. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm obedient, but it just seems to me like the ones that I don't do are the ones that I should have. And the ones that I do, maybe they did. I don't know. I don't know how to reconcile. So here's what I do. Just pray for everybody. If you think it's God, what if it's not God? Oh, it'd be really terrible if you prayed for somebody God didn't want you to pray for, right? Oh, you're going to be in trouble when you get to heaven, right? I think God told me to pray for him. But if I do that, then I'll be praying for everybody. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Come on. Get on board with this thing. Let this thing envelop your whole life. Let it completely absorb who you are. May people, when you walk, like, oh, I hate that guy. He's always praying for somebody. Oh, I hate that guy. He's always doing something nice for somebody. May it be your good deeds, your good works. May it be your kindness. May it be your prayers. May it be those things that bring glory to your Father in heaven, as the Word of God says. Because again, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen, he says. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. I saw that. I'm just teasing. So here's what we're going to do. Again, if you've been convicted, if you feel like, man, you know, the dude, I'm talking right to you, you hold that communion elements in your hands. Do not partake. Hold on to it. I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about it. As a matter of fact, Eddie's going to come up and he's going to do communion for us today, because I just feel like that's what God wants. Come here, bro. And I'm going to sit down. I'm going to actually enjoy communion with my wife, my beautiful bride, if she's here. Otherwise, I will enjoy it with my beautiful son.
Partaking together, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we'll partake together. Make a commentary on the bread.
Good morning, family, once again. And so, have you hold the communion elements in your hand? I just wanted to go over a couple of things. First and foremost, the Bible declares that we should not partake of this in an inappropriate manner. And so there's a couple of aspects to that. And first and foremost is to make sure that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. To make sure that if you're sitting here today, that you have made the decision, the most important decision in your life, and that's to ask Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins, so that in fact you would be free. And so that, in fact, you would be able to partake of this resurrected life that he has for you and for me. And after that, indeed, I want you to take note of your life, even as Pastor Ryan was speaking, and I was sitting there very convicted of some of the opportunities that I've allowed to mosey on by, if you will. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that he has prepared good works even before you and I were born, that he has good works prepared for you and I, that we would walk through those good works. And so, despite the fact that you and I, and even Pastor Ryan, as he mentioned, we've let many good works pass on by, today, starting right now, that could be different. Say amen if you're with me.
Amen.
And so, I want to just give you 1 minute just to go before the Lord. Maybe there's something that you need to ask for forgiveness about. And make no mistake, the cross already happened. You have been forgiven. But I have found in my life that even though I have already been forgiven, there's a power and there's a strength and there's a peace that comes upon me when I, in fact, go before the Lord and I let him know, Lord, look, I'm very aware of this, and I lay it at your feet. So I'm going to give you a minute to do that. I myself am going to do that. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to partake of this together. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you in a second, and then you go ahead and do that. Lord, I pray that even now by the power of your Spirit that you would show us, Lord, those things, Father, the missed opportunities, Lord, the presumption that we have in our hearts so often, Lord, and we just lay that before your feet, Lord. And again, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, show us now those things. For in fact, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive. So speak to us now, Lord.
When I rise in the morning, when I rise in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, you can have all this world, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus.
And so as you hold the elements in your hand and you've gone before the Lord, I want to remind you of what this is all about. And no doubt you're a well-taught bunch. That's a fact. But it's good for us to remember. Even as he declared, do this in remembrance of me. And so we remember what took place on that night. We remember that he who knew no sin became sin for you and I. That you and I, who are all about sin and completely partaking of sin, now you and I are his righteousness, God's righteousness in Christ. And that's a good thing. And so I remind you what we celebrate as we hold these elements. We celebrate the exchange that took place. Can you say exchange with me? What took place? Tell me again, what? An exchange. My filthy, filthy self for his clean, righteous self. For again, he who knew no sin became sin for you and I. And no more is it the blood of bulls and goats, no more some useless, quote-unquote, sacrifice, some ritual. Now it's the very Son of God coming for you and I, coming to rescue us, coming to redeem us. And so that's good news for us today. Amen. And so he sat there that night and he lifted the bread and he broke the bread and he gave it and he said, take, this is my body broken for you. So let's take that today. And as he did that, he lifted the cup and he told them that this was the new covenant. Again, no more the blood of bulls and goats. No more useless ritual, just to look good. The real thing has come. That which you did before, it was a shadow. I'm here to rescue you and all those who have been chosen. And so he lifted the cup and he said, drink. This is my blood shed for you. And so can you lay your hands on somebody even right now? And so, Lord, we thank you again, even as we make a point of contact. And we're reminded, Lord, that it's a good thing, Lord, to know you. It's a good thing, Lord. It's the best thing, Lord, that you came to rescue, Lord, and to redeem us, Father. For where would we be without you, Lord? Dead in our sins, Lord. And yet sinning again, Lord. And dead again, and dead again, and dead again, Lord. And yet because of what you've done, Father, because of what we're celebrating here today, Lord, we stand clean, we stand clear, despite what we have done, Lord. In spite of what we have done, Lord, we are free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so, Lord, we stand with all boldness here in front of you because of what you have done, O Lord. And thank you, Daddy, once again, for this beautiful church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, again, that from here on in, Lord, we will be indeed, Father, running with everything that we have towards you. I know that some hearts have been changed today, Lord. Some apathy has done away with, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. And therein lies the power of your resurrected life, not only because you're sitting at the right hand of God, but the resurrected life in us, Lord. Thank you again, Father, for your grace and your mercy, for your kindness that has led us to repentance. We receive it today, Lord, in its fullness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Hey, would you look at somebody and say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Amen.